Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 207, big weekend. It is the League Cup final weekend between Braga and Estoril Praia. Not the final that everybody was expecting, but that's what we have, and it should be a lot of fun. I'll give you a bit of a preview regarding that match. First division and second division football will start both on Sunday instead of the usual Friday and Saturday due to the fact that the Liga wants all the attention on the League Cup final match on Saturday night, so there are no matches on Friday or Saturday other than the League Cup final match on Saturday night. Matches in the first to second division will be taking place on Sunday, Monday, and we'll finish up on Wednesday. And so that'll be what'll be coming up this weekend. And I'm going to review match day 19, talk about women's football. Congratulations to Benfica Women on becoming the first Portuguese team to reach the quarterfinals of the Women's Champions League. I'll give you my Big Four report, player abroad report. And then, of course, I'll also, at the very end, like I usually do, I will talk about my mailbag. I've got one good one tonight that I want to share with you about the League Cup. And I got some bad news about my favorite team in the fifth tier, my hometown team, Athletico dos Arcos. Not a great result last week. I'm starting to feel deja vu when they fell apart last January, and it's starting to feel like it's happening again. And I'll talk about that at the end of this episode. But let me start off like I always do. And that is talking about a year ago at this time, what was going on in Portugal. Let me bring you some flashback memories. But a year ago at this time, of course, we were in the middle of the 2023 League Cup final, and it was Porto winning their first ever League Cup trophy after 17 years of the competition, and they went on to win, beating Sporting, if I recall, to win their first League Cup trophy. That was what was going on last year at this time. Pedro Porro of Sporting was in the news. Spurs really wanted him. Sporting wanted $45 million up front for him, and they also wanted him to play in the League Cup final. And the back and forth in the news between the Spurs and Sporting over Porro was dominating the news last year. We also saw Benfica beating Passos de Ferreira 2-0. Passos, of course, last year was just absolutely awful. But Benfica won despite having three balls hit the post. They were able to come in and win. And let me tell you what's the most interesting about Portuguese football last year at this time and this year. Check out last year at this time, the Portuguese Liga standing in the first division. You had Benfica with 47 points. You had Braga in second place with 40. You had Porto in third with 39. So they were 8 points off of Benfica, and they were in third place, 1 point behind Braga. And Sporting at this time last year, which is why they were selling some of their players, was 15 points behind Benfica at this time last year at the end of January. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That was what was going on in Portugal last year at this time. And also, we were also starting to see the first reports as well with Sporting trying to go after Diamant. And that was the news a year ago today. But let's talk about the League Cup. It's not the final that everybody expected. I think a lot of people expected a Benfica Sporting League Cup derby. But Estoril Praia, who came into this match having already beaten Porto twice, they eliminated Porto from this competition in the group stage. But Estoril Praia came into this match where they beat Benfica on penalty kicks. They had lost three in a row in the Liga after such a great start under Vasco Seabra. And somehow, some way, they went to regulation, tied 1-1, and then they went to penalty kicks. And Estoril Praia scores the winning PK after several misses by Benfica to advance to their first ever League Cup final. And by the way, if you're Estoril, I would really enjoy it because next year the format changes. Only the top six teams in the first division and the top two teams in the second division qualify. So the League Cup next year starts in the quarters. And of course, as you know, it's likely going to be going abroad. So if you're Estoril Praia, you certainly are going to be enjoying this very, very much. But Estoril Praia making their first ever appearance. Braga will be making their fifth appearance in the League Cup. They have won it twice in 2013 and 2020, right before the COVID pandemic started. And they have also lost it two other years. So this time they are going to be looking for their third trophy in Portugal. And in case you wondered, Benfica is the all-time leader in this competition with seven titles. They won it 7 of 8 years during the early seasons of this competition. They totally dominated it, but they are leading the way with seven. Sporting, by virtue of the fact that they won 4 of the last 6, is in second place with 4. Braga is in third with 2. And then you have Porto, Vitória, Setúbal, Moreirense, each of them with one trophy each from this competition. So the League Cup final will be played on Saturday night at 19:45. I'm going to talk a little bit about the TV situation because I got a big question about it in my mailbag this week. So that'll be the mailbag one that I'm going to be reading it, and I'll get to the others next week. But the League Cup is here, the Allianz Cup. Let me be fair to the sponsor and say, and again, be curious to know, are any of you going to watch this match if you're even in the position to watch it? Do you have any interest in this match? We shall see. I'll be very curious to see the Portuguese ratings for this match when they come out a few days later. So that's your story for the League Cup. Prediction, I would say right now I'm going to go with Braga to win 2-1. I think Braga, of course, as we know, President Antonio Salvador has made it clear he wants to compete with the big three. He wants trophies. He wants to build his own museum. And you do that by you playing for cups. And if they win it, not only will it be their third League Cup trophy in history, but it'll also be the first one for manager Arthur Jorge, who does have Braga competing in the Liga, although they're not necessarily in the greatest shape for the top two spots in the Liga. So should be a lot of fun to see what happens with that on Saturday night. But the Liga, again, because of the League Cup final on Saturday night, it'll get started with 5 matches on Sunday. Moreirense, Famalicão, Boavista, Portimonense started off with a pair of 5:15:30 matches. You usually don't see teams, most of the time, you usually don't have two teams playing at the same time, but because the schedule's got to be squeezed this week because of the League Cup final on Saturday, that's what they're doing. You got Feirense, 7th place at home to 3rd place Porto. That, in my opinion, is the best match of match day 19, and that'll be played on Saturday night down in Algarve. And then you'll have Arouca, Vizela, Gil Vicente, and Vitória Guimarães. That'll be playing on, they'll be finishing it up on Saturday night. Then you have 2 matches on Sunday involving the 2 teams that were in the semifinals that were eliminated. You'll have Estrela Amadora taking on Benfica on Sunday, and then you'll have Sporting at home to Casa Pia. I believe the last time Sporting and Casa Pia played in Alvalade or was in the Jamor, I can't remember. I think they played to a very exciting 3-3 match. And then everything will finish with match day 19 on Wednesday. And again, it's to give these teams the proper 3 days rest. And that will be on Wednesday. Rio Ave will be taking on Estoril Praia. And Braga will be at home playing last place Chaves. And again, the best match of this weekend is between on Sunday night between Feirense and Futebol Clube do Porto. Second division, again, doesn't get going until Sunday. They will have 6 matches on Sunday. And, you know, when I look at this weekend, you know, and I try to, you know, kind of tell you who I think is the best match as I kind of scan it. AVS Marítimo is a very good match involving the second place and fourth place teams here. Santa Clara will be playing Leixões, who just got a new manager. Santa Clara is sitting in first place with a 2-point advantage over AVS and a 5-point advantage over third place Nacional. And again, the top two are automatically promoted to the first division. Santa Clara trying to get back there. Other interesting matches, got FC Porto B at home against Belenenses. But one match I also like, Nacional, third place, taking on sixth place Turiens. And so that'll be some good matches. And again, you got 2 matches on Monday, with Benfial Feirense and Benfica B versus Leiria. And then on Tuesday, Académico do Viseu will be taking on Tundela. And again, Santa Clara leading the way with 39, AVS 37, Nacional 34, Marítimo still in the hunt with 31 points and quickly climbing up the table here. Tundela there at one point were near the bottom. They are now all the way up to fifth place with 28 points, and right behind them in sixth place is Estudiantes. And again, match day 19 of the second division will take place on a Sunday, Monday, and a Tuesday. Women's football preview. First of all, congratulations again to Benfica's women for becoming the first Portuguese team to qualify for the quarterfinals of the Champions League. That is major, major accomplishment for Portuguese women's football. And this weekend is match day 12 of women's football. You've got four matches that are being played on Saturday in the early part of the day. And then you have one match on Sunday. And then Benfica Turians will be played later. So right now, women's football, Benfica in first place with 28 points. Sporting with 26. Braga with 25. And Marítimo in fourth place with 19 points. And that's been what's been going on in women's football. And my favorite name in women's football, I love saying this all the time, Racing Power FC, which is nationally not doing too bad. They're in the middle of the pack with 17 points. They'll be playing Damiens on Saturday. Família Congo will host Marítimo. Then Vila Verdeense, which sits in last place with 1 point, will be hosting second place Sporting. Benfica, again, won't be playing until because of the fact that they have to play the Champions League on Thursday. Their match with Turians has been moved to February the 7th. As far as a player abroad report, really want to talk about, and it's going to be very short. We saw Jose Mourinho get some interest from Saudi Arabia. That apparently is not going to happen. I know that he's also getting interest from Brazil. Be very curious to see what the special one will do in the future. A lot of people in Rome are not happy that he was moved out. So we'll see what happens there. And of course, we saw a lot of good football going on this week. But I'll talk about that a little bit more next week. Let me get through the Big Four report. Unfortunately, this is going to be a bit of a short episode when I'm recording this. I'm kind of stuck between two things that I've got to do. And so therefore, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. But let me talk about the Big Four report and about what's going on. And of course, we saw Benfica in the news being linked to Rafik Guitani, the striker that scored the goal for Estoril in the League Cup. He's been a terrific player for them all season. Reports say that Benfica will be paying up to $5 million for him. Benfica, apparently, with all the moves they made this January transfer window, it is their most expensive transfer window, no doubt. Very busy. But losing the League Cup, a lot of people felt, you know, after all, this is a competition. The last time Benfica won the League Cup, okay, remember, they won it 7 out of 8 years in the early years of this competition. They have not won this competition since 2016, when they beat Marítimo in a match 6-2, in a match that was played in Coimbra. But Roger Schmidt is starting to see pressure again. A lot of criticisms for his substitutions, a lot of criticism for his choice of the 11, and there's also criticism about how much moves Benfica's got to make this transfer window to try to get this club back to where a lot of people feel they should be. Now, the good news about Benfica is they're only 1 point behind first place Sporting. And at the end of the day, that is the most important trophy that they are worried about. So even though they have all these frustrations all over the place, they are still in the hunt in second place, only 1 point behind Sporting. But again, the only competitions now they have left to play for is, of course, the Liga, the Europa League, which they dropped down to after the very poor Champions League campaign. And they are still in the hunt for the Taça de Portugal, which will be taking place. And I'll do a brief preview for it coming up here in a few minutes. Porto, of course, the big news with Porto this week. First off, Dani Damasio's loan, they extended his contract. Not really a surprise. But the big news is this tremendous campaign. It's only the third week of January, if I recall, the elections are supposed to be in April, and it is starting to heat up between Andres Villas-Boas and Pinto da Costa. Pinto da Costa accusing Andres Villas-Boas of being supported by their rivals, accusing him of basically saying that he's not going to do right for the club, that he's being supported by the press from southern Portugal. And really, and I think what Pinto da Costa is doing is he is speaking to people in Porto, okay, don't like the press from the south. They obviously don't like the clubs from the south. So he's trying to associate Villas-Boas with this. And Villas-Boas is basically coming out saying, enough already. I'm not getting any help from the south. I don't have any help from our enemies. I'm here to do what's right for the Socios. And let me tell you, this is going to heat up. I don't know if they're going to debate. I know that in Villas-Boas' headquarters, you know, he basically is allowing Socios to come in and talk. He's allowing former players to come and talk to him and debate. And he's trying to stake his claim to what is really going to be a very tough battle for him, because Pinto da Costa has been there for, what, 40 years? He's brought a lot. He's brought some international flavor to the city. He is a major figure in Porto. But he's got an uphill battle. But I'll say this, though. He is making some progress. And I'll be very curious to see what's going to be happening with Porto in the weeks to come, before we get to this election that'll be taking place, based on what I understand, is to be the month of April. Sporting, a major disappointment this week, being eliminated from the League Cup. They were looking to win it. You know, having won it four of the last 6 years, they were looking to make it number five and to try to catch up to their rival, Benfica. Ruben Amorim has been very supportive of his players, said that he even believes in them more. But privately, there has to be a lot of disappointment, because this was a great opportunity for them to basically win a trophy, and they basically let it slip away. And as a result, there's just a lot of disappointment with Sporting. But again, that'll all be forgiven quite quickly once they get back into the Liga, because again, they are in the hunt for the Liga, being in first place. They, I think, have a good opportunity in the Europa League. And of course, they're still competing on all fronts in the Taça de Portugal. So Sporting, I think, so far has been doing okay. But a major, major disappointment this past week, being eliminated from the League Cup, which I'm sure is not going to go over well. Condroidi is supposed to be coming to them from Estoril, but depending on what newspaper you read, one is it's a done deal. The other one, there is still talks. That continues. But then again, at this time of the year, that happens. And of course, the transfer window, as I understand, will be closing in the Liga. I believe it's a week from next Friday. Matter of fact, let me double check that for you. So that'll be coming up really soon. And then moving on, talking about Braga. And of course, look, if you're Antonio Salvador, you have to be very happy about your club right now. Antonio Salvador has made it absolutely clear to everybody that plays, and for all the moves that they made in the offseason, that their goal is to win trophies, particularly the Liga trophy, but in this situation is to win the League Cup for the third time. He has made it clear that he wants Braga to be a competitor in Liga. He does not want Braga and fans to think that they are the big three and then Braga. They want Braga to be in the hunt for all the trophies. And the way you do that, of course, is you do that by trying to win this competition. The bad news with Braga is that Bruma is not available. He is injured and he's going to be out for several months. So that is not very good news for them. And Braga, of course, has done very well. But they are 10 points behind Sporting, and right now they are 9 points behind Benfica. So it's a tough spot for them to be in. The goal right now has to be third place to get the direct entry. Third place in Portugal next year, believe it or not. And this is important for Porto fans to know. Whoever finishes in third place has to play a third preliminary round of the Liga Europa. Ouch! So Braga is still in the hunt, but Porto, there you go. I just found that out now, that whoever finishes in third, which obviously could be one of the big three, or Braga, will have to play a preliminary next summer in August, and that's got to be very, very disappointing, which, by the way, again, is what makes it so, so important when I talk about the transfer window. All the money that you want, you need to finish in the top two to go to the Champions League, and because of that, and because there is so much focus with the big three to try to finish in the top two. It's why none of, you know, it's why you haven't seen Sporting yet make any big selling. It's why Benfica has been buying and not selling. It's why you haven't seen Porto do any big moves as well, because it is so important this year to finish in the top two for the Champions League. Because if you finish in third place, you're going to the Europa League and you still have to qualify for it. So that is why, you know, I get all these questions from these unofficial accounts, Instagram, asking me, do you think Gonçalo Inácio is going to be sold? Do you think they're going to sell João Neves to United? Do you think Diamond is going to be moving to one of the Premier League teams? And I've told each of these people, who, by the way, never say when they talk to me, they just go out and say, yeah, I spoke to a source in Portugal and he said it's not going to happen. But I've been saying this for 3 weeks on this podcast. They are not, none of these big clubs are going to be selling their players simply because there is too much to lose if they don't finish in the top two. And selling one of your better players only hurts your efforts in that regard. So the Champions League this year is just so, so important for this club. And again, if you're coming on here to listen to the transfer window, let me save you a lot of trouble. I would be shocked in the final week, and we'll see what happens when we come back next week. I would be shocked if any of these clubs sell one of their big price assets, especially Benfica, even though they made a lot of selling. I would be very, very surprised to see them make any big moves. I just don't think it's going to happen. But we'll see. You know, let me move on here and let me get down to my last two things out of what I usually talk about. And again, this is going to be a very short episode, so I apologize for that. First off, some bad news regarding, for those of you that have been following this podcast, you know that I talk a lot about my favorite club in Portugal in the fifth tier, and that's Athletico dos Arcos. And unfortunately, last week, Athletico dos Arcos with a very disappointing result with a 1-1 draw at the 14th place team. Meanwhile, the second place team, Munsong, won. So 2 weeks ago, we had a 7-point lead, okay? And now it's down to 3. A year ago at this time, maybe I should have included that at the beginning when I was talking about a year ago at this time at Portuguese football, we had a 5-point lead, and all of a sudden, a few weeks later, we were behind by 5 points. It just fell apart. And somehow, I'm starting to get deja vu, but a very disappointing thing to see us lose 4 points within 2 weeks. Having said that, we still have a 3-point lead. It is not done yet. This weekend, Athletico dos Arcos will be at home to play my namesake Neves FC, who happens to be the last place team with a minus 31 goal differential. And I guess if you want to break two straight draws, there's no better way to do it than against the last place team. Munsong, who is 3 points behind us in second place, they will be taking on Távora, which is the other team from the city of Arcos do Valdevez. Távora is, they were actually doing pretty good at the beginning of the season. At one point, they were in fifth place, but now they are dropping like a rock in water, and they find themselves in 13th place. So we got to win, because it's likely that we're going to need to keep this 3-point lead after this weekend, and we're going to need the 3 points. But last year, we had a nice lead. We lost it. Our manager left, and we finished in second, which in the districts gets you absolutely nothing. This year, we had a 7-point lead, and now it's down to 3. And we still have plenty of matches left to play, and it's a bit discouraging. But what are you going to do? That's what it's been very disappointing. Let me end episode 207 with the mailbag edition. I'm going to pick one email that I received from California, from one of my followers named Roy, and he was basically talking about the League Cup. And I want to talk about this because I think it's important. One, because during the semifinals this week, I got a lot of DMs and emails, people asking me where could they watch the semifinals. And I had nothing to tell them. But basically, here's this letter, it's this email. Want to say that I've been following your podcast and the website for a very long time, and I want to thank you for coming on this week and talking about Portuguese soccer, as I like to say it in California. But I want to say that I agree with you. I think it's very disappointing that it's very difficult for us here in North America to watch the broadcast. Do you know the exact reason why? And is there ever an option, like you considered, you talked about whether or not they should be putting this on YouTube? I'd love to hear your opinions. Thank you. Well, let me just say this. The only countries I know in terms of countries with heavy Portuguese immigrant populations that are getting the game is France with L'Equipe, the website. I know it's not in England, from what I understand. It's not in Switzerland. It's not, I don't believe, in Luxembourg, which has a lot of Portuguese. It is not, of course, in North America. I know it is in Brazil. It's in many parts of the Caribbean. I think South America, if you've got like ESPN, you have access to it, something like that. But let me just say this. First off, number one, what the league is trying to do, and I don't say it's a wrong thing, they're trying to monetize this. And the way you monetize this is by selling rights to it. And maybe they feel like there are more people buying the TV rights now than they did about 5 years ago. The problem for me is you have a competition that 4 to 5 years ago, everybody in the first and second division was competing in. Now, next year, we're only going to have 8 teams competing in it. This competition has been severely shrunk. And we have a situation where, you know, a lot of people aren't buying the rights, and so therefore people can't see it. And if you're going to be bringing this competition abroad, you should put people in the position to see it. And what I think they should do, the league, and be innovative, and maybe they don't do it because, after all, they do need to make some money to run this competition. And by the way, that speaks to the financial concerns a lot about the Liga if they wouldn't take a chance on this. But I think for me, especially if you want to go abroad, you be innovative, you bite the bullet, so to speak. You put it on YouTube, or I think it's Seek that's showing the game in Portugal for free. You know, obviously Seek is an open-air channel. Let Seek put up a page, make sure they have enough bandwidth, and just promote the hell out of whether it's YouTube or Seek, and let everybody go to this page and watch. You'll have a good idea analytically how many people are watching it. You can promote the Liga. Seek could promote their products. I think Seek, I'm not sure if they're one of those channels that you can pay for internationally to watch their programming. But there's a lot of things that you can do for the audience outside of Portugal. And I think that's what I was trying to say with putting it on like YouTube is bite the bullet, make it available for everybody 1 year, and then get that interest, get that people talking about it, or at least saying, wow, look at the Portuguese Cup. I can watch it on YouTube, or I can just go to this website. I don't need to, I just do it. It's that easy. Yeah, it's that easy to have a lot of people to see it. And the point I'm trying to make is I'm trying to expose this competition to as many people as possible. And I think they should have taken that chance. Now, anybody seeing this from the league, and I know nobody listens, would say, who the hell is this that he thinks he knows what he's talking about? No, I may not know what I'm talking about, but what I am trying to say is that the league needs some attention, the League Cup. And I think that doing something innovative and something that would give the fans in North America who want to watch a chance to watch it, because otherwise you're driving people to do things that down the road are only going to hurt you when you talk about how, you know, and I'm not going to get into it, but we all know, and that's what you're doing, is you're driving people to that. And that's why I think the league could have been innovative. They could have made it, or at least make it available for people that don't have it, like North America, make it available for us to see, slap a few sponsor logos. And again, I know there are some people that would think this is a dumb idea, but again, I'm just trying to expose this product to a bigger audience, and I think it's very disappointing that, you know, there are going to be some people who are not going to be able to watch it. I don't know if interest is less now because it doesn't involve one of the big three and it involves Braga and Estoril Praia. We'll see. But I just think for me, in my opinion, by the way, I've always been complimentary of Pedro Proença. I've been very complimentary of the Liga. I've been an advocate for the Liga, especially when they were playing the League Cup during the World Cup last year. I've been an advocate. I think I've spoken much more highly of the Liga than most people do. But at the end of the day, it is a big disappointment when you have a big chunk of North America, all the fans, Portuguese fans there, and maybe even your average fans that want to see, you know, this. There was an opportunity here if you were willing to make a sacrifice, and you know, and now I just think it creates more problems than it solves. But anyway, folks, hey, only a short podcast of about 30 minutes. My apologies, just a lot going on. I apologize if I was rambling, but recording this late to make sure this goes out as scheduled. And again, if you've listened to it this far, thank you so much. Please give us a follow if you're listening to this the first time on Spotify, Google Podcast, iTunes, Podcast Attic, the audio. And please do give a follow to our YouTube channel at PortugueseSoccer.com. I also put the audio up on YouTube. And again, I say this from the bottom of my heart for all those that do listen regularly. Thank you. Really means a lot to me. It is the best way to say thank you. And I appreciate that. And I'll talk to you next week. We'll review the Taça de Portugal preview that's coming up next week. We'll talk about match day 19 and 20. And, of course, how the transfer window finished. As I always say, folks, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.